as opposed to what comes afterwards, tomorrow on Saturday, I would like to just set a little bit the, how would you say, the fundamentals. Many times we find that the area of devotional service is occupied with misconceptions about it. And it is these misconceptions and foggy understandings which need to be clarified so that in our bhakti, in our devotional service, the revelation of Krishna can take place. It's almost like when you chant the holy name, we understand there is a mist covering the pure sun, or the sun of the holy name. When we were, and clouds also. When we were starting in Frankfurt, our journey yesterday, there was a big cloud bank which the airplane had to go through, and when we were above the clouds we could see the sun very easily. It is said as long as we chant with ignorance and aparadas, the clouds and the mist will continue to cover the holy name and we will not be able to really have the breakthrough of the sun in our life. In the same way, service can sometimes be covered with understandings, misunderstandings. And one of it is that service is just a material activity, a conditioned activity, a normal thing. Why do we need it in a spiritual movement? Is it because we need unpaid labor? No, service is an entirely spiritual activity, and Srila Prabhupada's and the Shastra's analogy of the spark who enters the fire wants to show this. When the spark is of a fiery nature, when it is not within the fire, it will extinguish. So in the same way, when we are not in contact with Krishna through devotional service, our spiritual qualities will extinguish. We will not be brilliant, we will not be illuminating, so to say. So today I want, in my second section, to talk something a little bit more narrative, more not so philosophical, to convince you that service indeed is entering the fire, and it will fireize you, it will make you spiritual. I want to start with a quotation which I have actually written down from Naveen Krishna Prabhu's presentation. It's not his quotation, it's a quotation by His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, which is quite amazing thing. Our Maharaj, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, has said, "When you desire to serve is beyond your capacity, yet you act without hesitation, that is the moment empowerment takes place." Should I say it again? Because it's really very condensed. Yes? Yes. Maybe I can even say it more slow, because I see some of you are in the process of writing it down, so here it is. When your desire to serve is beyond your own capacity. Yet, you act without hesitation. That is the moment empowerment takes place. You have it, or do you want me to do it one more time? I see everyone is on their writing device. No? No? Oh, yeah? Good. This brings us to a point which illustrates it must be spiritual. You know, there's someone who cannot do something, but he has a desire to do it, and he starts doing it somehow or other, and then all of a sudden it works. He does it. By what force does he do it all of a sudden? How is it possible that he does something which he did not do before? It is because there is an empowerment. There is a divine energy, not the material energy to which he is limited, but he is given from another source a power. We have classical and modern examples of this. A classical example would be the servant of Jagannath Das Babaji. He's one of our gurus in our line of disciplic succession. The servant was called Bihari. He came from Vrindavan. So once Jagannath Das Babaji said, Bihariji, I want to do the kirtan of Mahaprabhu. You take a madanga and accompany me. Bihari said, Guru Maharaj, I do not know how to play madanga. Of course, he meant really everyone knows how to, to give a solid beating to a drum, that you don't need any training. But he meant the rhythms and all. I've never learned it. I'm a non-musical man. And today we will do kirtan of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. You get a madanga and somehow you will do. So in the evening, Jagannath Das Babaji was ready for the kirtan. And he wanted a pleasing madanga player who would know the intricate beats to give pleasure to Lord Gauranga. So Bihari, he didn't want to disobey. He had his madanga, and I don't know if he knew to put the right, the left side where the left side goes and the right side. He was a non-madanga man. But I think everyone knows how to place it on the lap. But then all of a sudden he found himself, as he was trying to accompany his ecstatic Guru Maharaj, who was dancing and leaping, accompanied him with intricate madanga beats. Another day, Jagannath Das Babaji said, Bihariji, I want to hear about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Bihari said, Guru Maharaj, I'm from a different country in India. Is it a country or what is it called? Bengal. State. I'm from a different state. I don't know the Bengali script. No, somehow you read, you get a copy of Chaitanya Charitamrita. You will somehow read. Now he had no idea of the Bengali script. It's a different script than the Hindi script. I do not know if he was literate in Hindi, but not in Bengali. He said, Guru Maharaj, if you order me, I will get. So it was a clear order. He got a copy of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The time came when his Guru Maharaj wanted to hear about the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He took the book. He must have been thinking, okay, I'm doing it. But by now, I think he didn't. He believed in the miracles of empowerment. He looked at the letters of the lines, and to his great surprise, he began to speak Bengali like our Chontonu. And everything came, and he read what surprised him, this is how I read it, with comprehension. He knew all of a sudden what the sweet Bengali language is expressing. And he read the letters. These are old examples, but there are many modern examples. Ask Sangatan devotees how they are wanting to distribute books. They are not good communicators with the simple English people, but still, boom, all of a sudden, a flow of literature comes out of their bags, and they distribute many copies, because there's the same thing as in the earlier examples, divine empowerment. It's something spiritual. I remember in my life that when I was one of the first German-speaking devotees, and everyone thought, because I had visited a good school, that I knew English, the American devotees. But the English-speaking devotees were the older devotees, and they were managing the temple as temple president, temple commanders. So they thought this German boy, I was only 15 or 16 years old, comes from a good background. He speaks some English, and I was very shy with the devotees. I said, I didn't speak much, so they didn't know the extent of my English. And they said, you translate Prabhupada's books from English to German. Start with the Bhagavad Gita. I said, I'm sorry. I know not English. But you went to school. Yes, my school was an illusory school. I was bored, so bored. I never did anything in school. Only by the influence of my father, I passed from one class to the other. I was lazy. I was most of the time sleeping, because I was very active in the evening and in the night, and I was really tired in the morning when the school started, and I took a solid nap on the table in the last line of the I was really not and I think I would have been fired even in the Avanti school. I was not proficient. I was not interested. I thought, maybe I shouldn't say what I thought, but I was a rebel against this modern school system, the school system. This may suffice, maybe enough. If I would tell you what we did when we were schoolboys, oh no, we made war against the teachers, really, but with color bombs and things which are so bad that one teacher was driven to commit suicide. We were really against this forced education of the school at that time. And therefore, I didn't know anything. Mathematics, no idea. English, no idea. I learned only later from my grandfather everything, because he took pity on me. And So, but English, he did not know English also. We didn't have English in our private education. And I said to the devotees, I'm really not able to do this. Then they said, but you are from Germany, and we need books in the German language, so you try. And I still remember, I typed on a handwritten machine, and I tried my best. And then the day came, the day of the great test. There was a TV team in our temple making footage about the Hare Krishna movement in Germany, and they wanted to have a lecture in German language. So the devotee said to me, you give the lecture in the German TV. We have two programs, one and two, and then a lot of cable TV. Actually, I don't even know what is nowadays. I'm out of tune. But at that time, erstes Programm and zweites deutsches Fernsehen, that was all which was available. And I was in the first program. Everyone in Germany saw it. And so I said, lecture me, a lecture? Oops, this won't go very well. So I ran to my typing machine. I zipped the typed lecture verse from the Gita and the purport from the Gita, and I read before the TV the verse from the Gita, which was just in the typing machine, and the purport. I read it very slow. And then I said, I'm new here, my dear German audience. I don't think you will be enlightened by if I start to speculate something, but this is good. This is what I just translated for my spiritual master. And so my grandmother saw this program, amongst many others. I mean, everyone saw it. my grandmother said, but you phoned me the next day and said, you gave it, that this was a wonderful German text. Who translated it? My grandmother knows German like anything. I said, trying. He said, very good, but you don't know English. You don't know nothing. You don't, including English. And I said, grandmother, this is devotional service which we do. It's non-material. It's magic can happen. And she said, it was very good, but I still criticize you. That verse which you picked, it said, everyone who doesn't offer his food and sacrifice, verily it's sin. Why do you always have to be such a rebel? Couldn't you take a more softer verse, please? So I felt myself, and I still feel it, that when you do service with the intention to serve and please, not with a reluctance, but with that, when you come from that place, I want to try my best, then divine empowerment takes place. Srila Prabhupada wrote a very nice song where he touched about this. It is the song which he wrote when he arrived at the shore of America. It's Markine Bhagavad Dharma. And we will sing it on Sunday. We will sing something from it. But in this song, he writes about this. He says, I do not know why you have brought me here to America. And I do not know how can these people be brought out of the clutches of illusion. I just don't know it, he said like this. And he then says, only by your causeless mercy will my words become pure. O Lord, I'm just like a puppet in your hands. So if you have brought me here to dance, then make me dance. Make me dance, O Lord. Make me dance as you like. I think you have heard this beautiful song, which we will sing actually in 2 days. And here Prabhupada expresses this. When your desire to serve is beyond your capacity, yet you act without hesitation, that is the moment empowerment takes place. No? In concluding this, I want to read to you, or I want to talk to you about another example where this is made extremely clear. What happens to someone who just wants to serve? My dear devotees, my dear friends, and my dear skeptics, I want to cover every one of you. Believe me, I'm here one of a generation. I have many exalted God brothers who would agree with me. We have seen that although we were young and inexperienced, we did have a deep desire to render service to Srila Prabhupada's mission. Somehow he had won our heart. He had captured it. And we tried constantly beyond our capacity. One Professor Hopkins in the new movie is describing this. This movie, I think you must have seen, Hare Krishna, the mantra, the movement, and the Swami who started it all. I hope I get it right. You know what I'm speaking about. He says, Prabhupada told a person to print a book. This person had most probably never a book in his hand throughout his life, much less than printing one. But they did it, and it worked. You know, some quotation is there, like this. Because Krishna sees your desire to do service, and he really then enters with his divine energy and uses you. My dear devotees, there is nothing more exciting than this. At that time, you will agree to Prabhupada's words that impossible is a word in the fool's dictionary, because divine empowerment makes everything possible. It makes you go beyond your capacity and do something there. And you, it's so surprising when you do something beyond your capacity. It is so enlivening when you see yourself doing something. What? That's not me, but boo, I seem to be carried by a wave here or so. And it is so rewarding that your life truly is less ordinary. Do you remember the slogan? Pandavasena, for a life less ordinary. Yes, it is extraordinary, this divine empowerment. A Shastric example about this can be found in the fourth canto. It is about Dhruva Maharaj. The Lord had appeared to him after he had chanted Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya and offered service to deity and did this heavy austerities for the Lord. The Lord appeared to him. And he was a small boy. He couldn't talk very high-class philosophy. But he wanted to offer prayers. Now, the text says, the Supreme Lord saw that Dhruva Maharaj was in an awkward position. Awkward. He wanted to do something he couldn't do, and he being situated in everyone's heart, could understand the awkward position, and out of his causeless mercy, he touched his conch shell to the forehead of Dhruva Maharaj, who stood there before him with folded hands. And at that time, when the Lord touched him, when this divine touch was there, this empowerment was there, Dhruva Maharaj could understand the most complex conclusions of the Vedic scriptures, and in accordance with this, he offered deliberate and conclusive prayers. This is how the text says it. And can I read to you his first prayer? Why? Yanta. Yanta pravishya mama vacha mimang prasupta sanjiva yatya kila shakti dara svadhamna anyang shahasta charana shravana tvakadin prananamo bhagavate purushaya tubhyam. Please listen. It's a beautiful prayer. Dhruva Maharaj is offering this prayer. My dear Lord, you are all powerful. You have entered within me and enlivened all my sleeping senses. My hands are enlivened. My legs are enlivened. My ears are enlivened. My touch sensation is enlivened. My life force is there, and especially my power of speech. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto you. If you want to read this in your own private reading time, because the purport is just amazing, it is 496, I repeat, 496. Prabhupada gives an amazing purport, really. And at one point which I want to bring out is the spiritual energy acts when a living entity fully surrenders and accepts his position as an eternal servitor. At that moment when you say, my Lord, I'm here, I'm standing on the streets of London, it is foggy, you know how my hands feel about this, cold like that of a dead person, but please help me now, I have come to my the limit, please help me. And then the Lord all of a sudden might act. Prabhupada continues a little later. At that time, his hands, his legs, ears, tongue, mind, genitals, that's for Grihastha who procreates, everything engaged in the service of the Lord. Such an enlightened devotee no longer has any material activities, nor has he any interest in being materially engaged. This process of purifying the senses and engaging them in the service of the Lord is known as bhakti or devotional service. So you might ask yourself the question, Maharaj, you talk about coming in contact with the internal energy and becoming surcharged. Can you tell me a little bit more how this happens. And Prabhupada says, yes, in the beginning the senses are engaged by the direction of the spiritual master and Shastra, and then the engagement continues. And the difference is, in the beginning you do something mechanical, but then you engage with spiritual understanding. So even a not so advanced Pandava Sena, this is what I take from there, or my not so advanced member of, you know, a not so advanced devotee, if he says, okay, there is a pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada, he has a mission, okay, there are Shastras, let me do, and then as he does, another energy, you would say in contemporary English language, kicks in. It starts to move you. I invite all of you for this type of life, a life where you really try to understand, let me do something outside of my ordinary limitations. A life where you are willing to do something on the power of spiritual energy. Now, while this is going on, while you are leading such a life or doing such a service, you have to be careful only of one thing. It's almost like a surfer who is moved by a powerful wave and surfs the wave. He has to be careful to not lose the wave. It's not dangerous. Bhakti is not dangerous. What will stop the energy, the flow of divine empowerment, that is when you become proud and you falsely claim, I am the doer. It's because of me. It is because of my talents, my wonderful smile with very nicely polished white teeth, and so on. It is because of my abilities. It is said, when you take credit for something which was done, then that credit turns into poison, which is poisoning you. But if you offer this to the ones in whose service you did this, the spiritual master, Krishna, then that is nectar. You will not drink the credit. You won't say it's because of me, but you will feel the nectar. Somehow that nectar is coming to you. That's very important. There's a verse like this. Praise must be offered to one spiritual master, otherwise it turns into poison. That it poisons one. So if you want to act in divine empowerment, give credit where the energy comes from. Don't claim it for yourself. That's a little tip which I wanted to give, because I have often made this mistake, and I suffered, nowadays I don't want this any longer. I want to repeat it. This is what I wanted to explain within this session. Let me summarize. I wanted to speak about why we say service is spiritual. I wanted to distinguish it from material activity by showing for one and all to see that empowerment can take place, and someone who couldn't do something previously, because he wants to offer service to Krishna, to his spiritual master, can suddenly do it, not by his own strengths, but by the strengths of the spiritual energy. I wanted to give traditional examples. The servant of Jagannath Das Babaji is one. I wanted to offer my own example as a non-English speaker. Now I have learned, and I'm still learning, you can ask Gokrishna. I'm very meticulously learning new words every day, and I'm drilling him for words. He's very frustrated with me, because sometimes I'm asking him words which even he does not know completely. Then he has to go to his mobile telephone, and so on. But in my early days, I did something which was just materially impossible. And I wanted then to offer this verse of Dhruva Maharaj, so that we can read it in Shastra and understand from Shastra how it is. This is what I presented or wanted to present for this session. Oh, time flies. I want to now see if I can do something to enliven your sleeping senses. Means I would be very happy if at this time the questions start coming. Mm-hmm. We have another quarter of an hour. How do you think about this? Here is our Ganeshyam Priya. I know it will be a very mindful question. But isn't that a nice point, my dear devotees? One moment, Ganeshyam Priya. What do you feel? Do you believe me or not? Please try this more and more, and you will really have a life which is wonderful. Now, yes, Ganeshyam Priya, Prabhu, please put your question.
Hare Krishna.
Yes.
Maharaj, yesterday you spoke about the North Star, and today also you're talking about our relationship with service and understanding our deeper relationship with service. How have you seen a devotee's relationship with service change? So when we first come into Krishna consciousness, we have a certain level of understanding of service. How should that understanding change with maturity and growth? And how should we be connecting with service at different stages in our Krishna consciousness?
Mm-hmm. Thank you very, very much. Ganeshyam Priya, I wanted to really give a fantastic surprise lecture tomorrow about this, but because the question is relevant at this time, you in a way induce me to give away some of my treasures earlier. I think the main switch, let me say there, obviously various levels of service. I think when we all join, we just like the devotees, we wish to be part of them, and when they asked us, can you please drive me to the tube station, we say, oh, sure, jump into my car, and we just do it a little bit in the idea of helping out, social function, social service. Now, as we become more, let us say, evolved in our understanding of Krishna consciousness, we go through different levels of understanding. For me, for instance, it was a great wake-up call to understand, well, I'm assisting my spiritual master, I assist Srila Prabhupada, I'm not just helping out and do what needs to be done. I'm part of a mission which started with Lord Brahma in this world. More and more understanding comes. Then I did understand that as the years went by, I understood that if you want something to be really devotional service and have this, you would say, this quality where really magic starts to happen, you should sincerely try to do it for Krishna, and you start your day by offering what you do for his pleasure. But what I really consider the paradigm shift in devotional service, something which a devotee like you, who is an older devotee, might like to consider and meditate about, is how Rupa Goswami describes devotional service. He says, for devotional service or bhakti, there need to be three main qualities and one side quality. Let me just be with the main qualities and then go a little bit deeper in this point. It must be done for Krishna. It must be done with an effort that involves body, mind, and senses. No? It's an effort. You push yourself out of bed and you do your service. It's an effort. And it must be done with a favorable intention to please Krishna. And I would like to draw all of your attention to this last point, the favorable intention to please Krishna. Later, Rupa Goswami speaks about that bhakti has two forms. The Cheshta Rupa Bhakti and the Bhava Rupa Bhakti. Cheshta means an effort. It has the form of an effort. Yes, you sit down, you chant the rounds. It's an effort. The vocal cords are used. But that's only one half of it. And I believe, really, whenever we experience dryness, whenever we experience hesitancy in offering seva, whenever we are not so fired up, inspired, we miss the second part of bhakti. It's the bhava rupa bhakti. It means the mood, the devotional mood. Only when these two halves come together, do they build a full circle, you know, a round thing, a complete thing. One without the other is incomplete, like a half circle is incomplete. It misses something. And it is this approach to devotional service where we do something with a mood of affection, an inner devotional mood. There could be gratitude in it. Love is obviously the highest degree of that mood. But before love, there can be gratitude. There could be an inner inclination. Oh, Krishna, I want to offer this. Without this Ganeshyam Priya, we will lack something. And I consider this the paradigm shift, which needs to be done better earlier than later. We have lost too many people with only half of the bhakti understanding. The full understanding is very much required. And tomorrow I would love to talk in more detail about it by retelling you one of my favorite devotional kathas about where Krishna personally drills this point home. Tomorrow, I cannot tell now. This is a surprise. But this is something, and please, I request you, because from our discussions, I know that you are seriously interested to fill your heart with bhakti. Tomorrow, please be there with the fire in your eyes and the fire in your heart. It will be very important, really. I consider tomorrow's lecture the most important thing I can genuinely share at this stage of my devotional life. So many devotees do things mechanically, and after some time it does not nourish them. So many devotees do things by missing the spirit, and then they think, oh, I'm doing service, why does he not do service? Oh, this me, the small executive head, you know, the big executive head is not polishing the toilets. So many devotees lose the taste because they have only a half thing, which doesn't really work. So the paradigm shift can and must be made, and we will hear more about it tomorrow. Hare Krishna. Here is our Krishna Kirtan Prabhu.
If you could clarify something for me. The difference between empowerment and the result of encouragement.
The difference between empowerment and please?
Empowerment and encouragement.
Encouragement.
So you gave examples of where empowerment
took place.
Obvious. Mm-hmm. But there's instances where somebody's capacity is here, the Mridanga player, Bihariji. But maybe he actually always could, but out of laziness he didn't. Now, there's an individual human being who he can relate to, who says, play Mridanga. And due to that relationship with the person, they've come out of their comfort zone.
Yeah. And do something. Yeah, yeah. I understand.
How are we to know if we just need, if we achieve something because we were encouraged by the personal relationship, as opposed to the magic of empowerment?
Yeah. Krishna Kirtan Prabhu, please allow me to think about it and then to sleep about it and then to think again about it. There is a very fine line there. But let me now answer you nevertheless, because we devotees like to always not give up. It's a very... I will share with you, because you are all very... We know each other, and yes, I give formal lectures, but I want to now say something personal. There are a few fine lines in devotional service like this. Like, when is it really a revelation of Krishna which we have when we do kirtan, or when it's just a devotional sentiment, an imagination? When is it what? There are other questions. And although one part of me will always try to analyze such questions. Lately, I have taken encouragement from believe it or not, a statement of Albert Einstein, who used to say, you can live your life in two ways. Either in the way that nothing is a miracle, or the other way is everything is a miracle. In other words, when it comes to these difficult questions, which are important to analyze, and I won't run away from the question, Krishna Kirtan, we are related to each other, we like to discuss, we have a lot of discussion hours in our wonderful relationship. I want to think about it and give a good answer, but I become very simple in life and think everything is Krishna's mercy, like this. And that, by this understanding that everything is the I feel a little Krishna conscious. But you must give me the chance of a few days. I'm not it's a very important question, and I can imagine tomorrow having the answer. Right now I'm I'm not able to go to that place with the full strength of my whatever little understanding I have. I'm just somehow not able to enter there at the moment. It's like a computer. Sometimes I think there are, I hope it's right, but sometimes there's no access to a certain program. So preacher should know when he has no access, and that's here. Mm-hmm. So let me also look towards the Mataji side. Yes, Mataji, I always keep on forgetting your name. I used to know it by heart, but now at the moment not. Anuradhika. Anuradha Sakhi. Yes. Please put your question.
Mind, I'm going to try and phrase this. It's formulating in my head. I, listening to your talks and kind of reflecting on my own life right now, I feel we're very, very blessed to have such a beautiful, fascinating community with so many opportunities to do things. I'm going to try and illustrate an example of what I mean.
Would it maybe take a long time?
So my question is, you've so beautifully spoken about approaching the Lord in the spirit of, if it's not love yet, it's gratitude, some sentiment, some feeling.
Something
from the heart. And my question to you is, sometimes in the mood of service, I feel in my own life that my dialogue with Krishna is lacking in proportion with my dialogue with everybody else about the service. And the level of dryness that we speak about seems apparent. And in my head, I decided to make a resolution this year to dialogue with Krishna more. I appreciate that is something that we speak about with our chanting, and that's an ongoing project. But I was wondering if you could share some words on how, I appreciate that also we can follow the prayers of the Acharyas, but sometimes a voice inside us needs to express our own words to Krishna, mm-hmm. just as one would with a friend, to just almost just read.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Any hints on how to bring that Krishna back to back?
Yeah. I've thought about this a lot. I think a very safe way is, and that's where I personally come from, is when you chant and you become aware that this is a prayer, please engage me in your service. Here you have 2 hours. 2 hours, and you're saying something do you mean it actually? We always know, please engage me in the service, that the Artha means the meaning in this case of the holy name, of chanting the holy name. So I think once you wake up to this, wow, 2 hours praying, please engage me in your service. It's not just a meditation mantra which you do in an impersonal school. It's a prayer. Did you ever think about this? Please engage me in your service. Wow. And then when the service comes, we say, no, I'm busy. I am very busy. You've just said 2 hours one thing. And then when you reject the service which comes, you're saying, no, are you maybe inconsequential in your spiritual life? So I think here when we see, Prabhupada once said, Krishna consciousness and Krishna consciousness first become conscious, then Krishna conscious. So I think here's a good way to start is in our sadhana. And once you are aware or mindful or alert or present-minded or attentive to what you are actually doing, at that time something starts. Something wonderful starts. I was talking today with a devotee and we were saying the main things in spiritual life happen because of Krishna's mercy, not because I make them happening. They're gifts to me. Main things. And I think really if we become, if we are serious about doing service here and we want to have the devotional foundation, let us start at the most genuine place, the most obvious place, our chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, which is a prayer for Vaishnavas. No? We are not just the yoga community who have troubled minds and who want to get out of the mental trouble by focusing the mind on a sound vibration. No, we are, that is one thing, but we want to move on. And once you enter there, devotional feelings will come, the proper devotional feelings, the genuine devotional feelings. Feelings you may not even like to share in public so easily. They will come from there. It will be given to you, like all the big things in your life were given to you. Like you became a devotee, you didn't make it happen. That was the mercy of the Lord. The child, I think you have 2 children, is it true? 3 even, they were given to you. They came to you in their life. You didn't produce them. Many things, the major things, are given to us. And I think once we start to be very alert when we chant and chant alive the holy name, then we will definitely see how these genuine devotional sentiments or genuine devotion which completes the circle will be given to us. Good. May I look secretly at the wristwatch? Wow, listen, only 7 minutes late. This is very good. Hare Krishna. So I will conclude the session here, and most probably you have a poem we want to hear. Please share with us.
Yes, sir. Can we please have a massive round of applause? And yes, Maharaj, once again, I've written a short little summary of all the points, some of the points that you've made. So here it is. Let's take it one step back to advance on our spiritual track. We have to try and chant Hare Krishna with our opera to receive the true mercy of the Lord and extinguish our facade. That service is simply a mundane activity when all we have to do is serve beyond our capacity. That's where real empowerment takes place, acting without hesitation to gain Krishna's grace. Impossible is a word in the dictionary of a fool. Divine empowerment is an extremely strong tool. We are that spark in desperate need of remaining in the fire. In the association of devotees, can we go higher and higher? We are simply a puppet of the Lord. We are simply a puppet in the hands of the Lord. And in our hearts, we must strike this chord that we must keep on saying when given any chance, Krishna, I'm yours, make me dance, make me dance. So this is the message. Call out to Krishna. Let me do, let me do, let me do. Then he will not hesitate for even a moment or two. How can I not see that just for me, he has created a lifeless ordinary?
Kaviraj, the king of the kavis, the king of the poems. No, it's something is coming. Hare Krishna.
So thank you, Maharaj, for another great session. And we're looking forward to tomorrow's session as well, like you were saying.